Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel found in Luke chapter 7. Then Jesus came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. This is God's word. Easter of 2020 was about 6 months ago, almost. Easter kind of stunk this year, didn't it? We were mid-lockdown. There was no Easter breakfast in the back of the church in between the sunrise and regular service, was there? No smell of sausage in my nose when I was leading that sunrise service. No lilies in the front of the church like there normally would be. No large gatherings of people. No singing together alleluias, which we hadn't done all through the season of Lent. Maybe it was an Easter you'd rather forget. Although for all those reasons, it's probably an Easter we will never forget, because it's unlike all the others. Every other Easter has Easter breakfast and singing together inside the church and the lilies in the front of the altar. Every other Easter has that. This one didn't. We won't forget this one anytime soon. And that's probably a good thing, because you know what? We all too often forget about Easter. And this morning, Jesus does something that should remind us of Easter, because we need that reminder. Today in our gospel, Jesus raises the dead. Just as Jesus himself was raised from death, he here raises a young man, the only son of his mother, who's a widow. And we're reminded that the Bible is filled with resurrection. Those who are dead being brought to life. Now, Jesus being raised on Easter, we all know that story. We probably know about Lazarus. John in his gospel devotes all of chapter 11 to building up the story of John being raised from the dead. But we have other raisings as well. You have the one in our Old Testament reading today from 1 Kings, where Elijah raises the son of the widow of Zarephath. And now, this one in Luke chapter 7, where Jesus encounters a funeral procession. He touches the coffin, the bier it's called, of the dead young man. And that young man lives where he once had been dead. That Jesus would touch the coffin, that's not something any Jew would do, because to touch a coffin, to touch something that has a dead person on it, would make one unclean. You would need to go through a cleansing process, a ritual, to make you ceremonially clean. And no one just does that willingly. Who would touch the coffin of a dead person? But Jesus is unlike any other Jew. He touches what is unclean because he has power over death and life. He gives life to those who are dead. And the early church, the first Christians, were so compelled by that truth that it was the foundation of what they proclaimed. And you need to know, dear friends in Christ, that the gospel of Jesus Christ can't be told without Jesus living after dying. To just simply talk about Jesus and his death on the cross, while the cross is the place where our sins are forgiven, it would be incomplete if we did not also mention that Jesus lives. And it was that living, his rising from the dead, that compelled the first apostles to tell this news to everyone. If you read the book of Acts, which effectively is the sequel to St. Luke, Luke also wrote the book of Acts, and he wrote it to tell of what the apostles did after Jesus had ascended into heaven. What did they do? They went around telling everyone that Jesus lives, that he is risen. Acts chapter 2, when Peter is preaching his Pentecost sermon, he tells the crowd in Jerusalem, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses." Then a couple chapters later, we read the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Acts 4, later in that chapter, with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Wherever the church went, the church proclaimed that Jesus lives. But you can't proclaim that Jesus lives if you've forgotten Easter. And too many of us forget about Easter. 9 times out of 10, maybe even 99 times out of 100, if you hear a Christian say what they believe happens after they die, what do they say? They say, "Well, I believe that after I die, I'll go to heaven to be with Jesus." And then they stop. They don't tell the best part of all. The part we just confessed in the creed. The resurrection of the dead. They don't talk about Easter. They don't talk about the fact that because Jesus lives, we will live. That because Jesus lives, death has no power over you and me. That because Jesus lives, you and I effectively cannot die. Oh, our eyes will close in death. They'll lay us in the ground, but not to stay there. Only to awaken in life when Jesus comes again, because he is the one who has power over both death and life. He revealed that power to the son of the widow of Nain with nothing more than a touch. Touching that which was unclean and bringing that young man from death to life. You and I likewise come this morning to be touched by Christ. More than touched, to be fed. His body, his blood, given for sinners, given for us who are unclean, given for us who are effectively dead. Oh no, we're not physically dead, but we are more or less dead men walking, dead people walking, surrounded by death on every side. Because you know, every bit of sickness, every bit of poverty, every bit of hatred, every bit of division, every bit of brokenness, every bit of shame, all of it all around us, on every side, every day, all of it is death. St. Paul writes, the wages of sin is death. Because we are sinners, we have death around us. And yet unclean sinners like you and me gather to be touched, to be fed by the one who has power even over death. To be touched and fed by the one who gives us life. Today in our epistle from Ephesians chapter 3, St. Paul describes our Lord Jesus Christ as him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Jesus is able to do more than we would even think to ask him. Think about your prayers. Think about the things you've asked God to give you. I saw a meme circulating on Facebook this past week, and there's been lots of stuff out there. There's an image talking about all the problems we face in our country, and said that what we need to do in our nation is pray for God to heal our land. And I thought, that's a good prayer. It's a good prayer. We should pray for God to heal division and brokenness and sickness and poverty and all the wickedness in our land. We should pray for God to heal it. We pray for lots of things. We're going to, before the altar in a few moments, pray for the sick. We're going to pray for our country. We're going to pray for our church. We're going to pray for those with birthdays and anniversaries. We're going to pray for our military. All sorts of prayers. Good prayers. But Paul would invite us to consider that God is able to do even more than we ask or think. Have you thought about asking the Lord to raise the dead? To bring those who are dead back to life? Because your Lord Jesus Christ, the one who took all your sin on himself on his cross, the one who rose on Easter, he is the Lord who has power over life and death. Have we asked him to raise the dead? Or have we forgotten Easter? The book of Revelation effectively teaches us to do this. At the very, very end of your Bible, the very last words, St. John writes, "Come, Lord Jesus." We pray those words a lot, but usually at the dinner table before a meal, asking the Lord to be with us in our meal. That's not what John had in mind, though. John had in mind that all those things written about in Revelation, he wanted them all to happen. You know, people will talk about the end of the world as though it's some terrible thing. Not for us in Christ. No. The end of the world is when Jesus comes back and raises the dead. When he raises those who have died with faith in him, he raises them to live with him in a new heaven and a new earth for all eternity. That should be our prayer. That is what we should ask God for. That Jesus would do what Jesus does. Bring the dead back to life. He begins it already in you this morning. With his touch for unclean sinners, dead in their sins, given in Holy Communion. And he promises you an eternity where death is undone forever. Dear friends in Jesus, don't forget about Easter. Your Lord lives. He has triumphed over the grave. And because he lives, thanks be to God, we will live as well. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.